I'm a ruler. Tama Zinsa Zimrizina. My two people had snus, promiscuous relations. Tamar Zinsa Yatsum Menem Malachim Unavim. So Tamar's snus resulted in the fact that she was a progenitor of Malachim and Nevi'im. And Zimri Zino and Nafluolov Kama Rivos Miyisrael. Okay. All right, so I'm not going to get involved with the question, of course. So, you know, I mean, that's a separate area. It's found throughout the Chazal that So, I mean, in general, the idea, it's a separate, I'm not going to go into that now, there's a separate idea, the Chazal holds, that a person's actions, the value of a person's actions are manifested by future events of future generations. The idea of Yotzum Imeno Malachim Onavim. I mean, that is something which requires its own analysis, and there are difficulties that must be analyzed with regard to that concept. I mean, the Gemara shows that the children of Hashem also learned Torah. I mean, so you have to understand that. But basically, let's just leave that alone right now. I mean, it's a problem. That's a problem because you find that the offspring of Hashem also were great people. So, what is the fact that it's Yotzum Imena Malachim Munaviyim? How does that prove that what she did was correct? But let's leave that go, as I said, and just assume it right now as hypothesis that the fact that it's Yotzum Imena Malachim Munaviyim, this demonstrates that her act was one which was virtuous. On a certain level was considered very virtuous, and that's why those results took place. Okay? Yeah, so let's just go further. Now I can ask like this. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Gidola Avera Lishma Mi Mitzvah Shelo Lishma. Okay? So, an Avera Lishma, which means that a person that does an Avera, but nevertheless, the purpose, the objective of the Avera, the reason, the motivation for the Avera was for the good. Okay, it was for the good. That's what it means, Lishma. It was Lashem Shemayim. So that is greater than a mitzvah shelo Lishma, which means a person that does an act of, an act which is a mitzvah. On the surface, it means to do any mitzvah. And you're doing that mitzvah, why? Shelo Lishma means for ulterior motives, ulterior purposes. It's not that you're not interested really, you're not doing it for the good, for the benefit of the mitzvah itself. You're doing some for another purpose, which is which stems from the instinctual part of man, the evil part of man, from the Yetzer Hara. So that's the motivation for doing that, the mitzvah. So the Gemara compares the two. One is you're doing an act of Avera, and the act of Avera is Lashem Shemayim. On the other hand, you have a person that does an act of mitzvah, but the act of mitzvah is what? Is really in order to satisfy Yitzro Hara, okay? In order to satisfy his Yitzro Hara. Alright. So the Gemara says that it's better to do an Avera Lashma. Gedola Avera Lashma. I mean, mitzvah Shlo Lashma. Now the Gemara asks the question. How could you say that? Vo'amrav yidomarav lo'olam yasok odom b'torah mitzvos afilu shalolishman shemitoch shalolishman bolishman. Alright, let's see what the problem is. Lo'olam yasok odom b'torah mitzvos afilu shalolishman. So what does that prove? So it proves that it's there's a value in doing whatever. Well, what's the value of doing shalolishman? What's that? Because it leads to Lishma.
But it still doesn't disprove the previous premise.
It doesn't disprove the previous premise, but so fine. So it shows you basically the Avera, it shows nothing about the Avera of an Avera Lishma. Nothing at all. It's talking about mitzvos shelo lishma. And it tells you that mitzvah shelo lishma only have a value. Why? Because it leads to lishma. Okay, but does it show you, does that help you in the comparison between mitzvos shelo lishma and avera lishma? I mean, what kind of a reflection does it cast on that initial problem? I could say very well, on the contrary, that since the only value in mitzvah shelo lishmon is what? Is that it leads to lishmon. But intrinsically, inherently, there's no value. Okay? So now let's compare mitzvah shelo lishmon avera lishma. So what would you say? On the contrary, it's perfect corroboration of what we've just said. Namely, that mitzvah shelo lishmon have no value, and avera lishmon does have a value. So what's the contradiction? We're at a loss to understand what the Gemara's question is. What's the contradiction? It's a corroboration. It's not a contradiction. It proves the point, because it's telling you that mitzvahs, shelo lishmon, really have no intrinsic value, which is basically what the previous member said, because the previous member says that an avera lishma does have a value. So now we have like this. Avera lishma has a value. Mitzvah lishma intrinsically has no value. So which is better? Avera lishma. Now we have another member which corroborates that, because it says that the only value in mitzvah shelo lishma is that it leads to lishma. Perfect. What's the problem? I mean, you just don't understand the Gemara's question. Yeah, even if it did have a value, it still does not show that it still casts no reflection on the case of avera lishma. Because even if I do say it has a value, so it has. Let's say we'd say it has a value. Okay. But does that prove that the value is greater than avera lishma? Who's talking about avera lishma? One thing has nothing to do with the other. I mean, what the version has to do with the other? So even if I should say that mitzvah shelo lishma do have a value, it still doesn't say what that value is. It doesn't say that value is superior to anything else. It's not a comparative statement at all. It's just a statement about the mitzvah shelo lishma. So it's an isolated statement. So how could you say that, how does that outrule the possibility that there's something greater than that? Okay, I mean, you might as well say maybe from this memory, you say that mitzvah lishma is not greater either. I mean, there's nothing to do with it. It's not a comparative statement. That's great. So Rashi tackles the problem. Rashi says mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma alma the mitzvah shelo lishma chashiva. Why dilidei mitzvah he mevia? Because it has a value that it brings one to doing a mitzvah. Va'at amrit avera lishma gedolo heimeno? I mean, Rashi really doesn't, he's obviously, somewhere hidden in Rashi is the answer to the question, because Rashi is saying this, it's pretty obvious from Rashi he's tackling this problem. But we don't understand what he means either. I mean, he doesn't really give us enough to know what the answer is. All right, let's go a little further. So the Gemara, what's the Gemara's answer? It doesn't mean, now the Gemara says the Gemara retracts. Why, we don't know, but the Gemara does retract. And the Gemara says, so you must rephrase that original statement. Amar avnach by Yitzchak, gedola avera lishma mi mitzvah shelo lishma. No, make a correction on that. Gedola avera lishma kim mitzvah shelo lishma. Just take the mem and kaf. All right, gedola avera lishma kim mitzvah shelo lishma. Okay. So let's accept everything up till now. We don't understand, but just accept it. But what's the answer? What is the Gemara answering? So let's take a look at Rashi again. Rashi says, "Ela'ema gedola avera lishma kim mitzvah shelo lishma sheshtein shavos." They're both the same. How do you measure it? What are they using as a barometer here? What are you measuring with? What's the measuring device? Okay, it's extremely difficult. And let's understand what the Gemara means over here. Lolem yaso gada mitar mitzvahs filo shelo lishman shemitel shelo lishman bo lishman. Does that mean it's always going to happen that way? I mean, let's understand it. I mean, you say, okay, if I there's a good chance if I do the mitzvahs it'll lead me to lishman. It's not a guarantee. I mean, so a person puts on tefillin, he does everything shelo lishman. He puts on tefillin because he's afraid his father's going to get angry at him. He does this because of that. He will work out his whole day. He's doing things completely shelo lishma. All right, you say, yeah, there's a good chance one day he'll wake up and say, you know, all these things I'm doing are really good and I should really do lishma. Fine. But Certainly that's not a... let's understand what the statement means. And you know what I'm saying? So what? I mean, we say that that's as great as a person who didn't have... It wasn't Avera. But Yoel, Leishis Chavrakeni, but she did the Avera. It was a horrible thing for her to do, and she did it to save Kol Yisrael. That's a mitzvah. I mean, I don't know, to me it seems like a davar pasha. I don't even see what the Gemara has to have a chakir out. What's the chakir? A person is doing mitzvahs like the Navi says... mitzvahs and nashim melamada. I mean, he's doing it out of practice. Let's say not even lo lishma. He just does it by rote, perfunctorily. Okay, so the person is doing these kind of mitzvahs. You're going to tell me that that's as great as a person like Yoel Eishes Chever Keni that did Navera and did l'shem shemayim? I mean, it's no comparison to mine. It's davar pashut. You don't need a gemara for this. Right? The whole statements, all the statements in the Gemara are just intrinsically problematic. If you think of them in a philosophical way, I mean, we have a tendency to accept Gemaras, which is good. I mean, for a start, but you have to really reflect upon what they're saying. Doesn't make any sense. I mean, you just want to work out the mechanics of the Gemara, and that's not a way to think about a Gemara. Yeah. That's apologetics. Yeah. Okay. Yes, good question. He's saying that what is Avera, what does it mean Avera Lishma? Mamanafshach. Was Yoel supposed to do that or not? If you Yoel would ask a Shaila from Sanhedrin, should I do this or not? What would they tell her? Of course they tell her to do it. So the question is, so why isn't Avera altogether? It's a mitzvah? That's a good question. That's Yoel's question. That's a good question. But Chlal, let's understand, what does it mean Avera Lishma? Was it the right thing to do or not? Apparently, Dvorah thought it was the right thing. I mean, Noshim Bol Tavarach. I mean, so you see, that was the right thing. She saved Kol Yisrael. So if that's the right thing to do, so where's the Avera? Yes. First thing you have to do, you have to understand like this. You see, what the Gemara means, you have to understand, what is the Gemara discussing over here? The Gemara is discussing over here, not just the person, Lolam Yasak Adam of Betar Mitzvahs, is not discussing any kind of mitzvahs, just any kind of mitzvahs. That's not what the Gemara means. It doesn't mean any kind of mitzvahs. When the Gemara says, "Lolam yasak adam b'tovah mitzvahs," afilu shelol lishman, shemitel shnoshman bol lishman, doesn't mean any kind of mitzvahs, like putting on tefillin and davening. It means it is referring to mitzvahs, very specific mitzvahs, which affect a person's instinctual nature. Only those mitzvahs. It's not talking about the Ner Hanukkah. You understand? It's talking, when it says, Lolam Yasok Adam Atarva Mitzvahs, Afilah Shoreshman, what it means is mitzvahs which have to do. You see, there's two types of mitzvahs in the Torah. There's a certain type of mitzvahs that are technical mitzvahs. But then there are mitzvahs in the Torah which really are something that are gufe Torah in terms of perfection, all right? Like, for instance, Arayas. Arayas, if you learn the Sugya in Kedushin, you see that Arayas are a separate entity. They have a separate role. It's a different kind of an ism. It's an iser which involves, if you violate it, involves serious imperfection. And if you keep it, it involves perfection. Okay? There are two types of mitzvahs in the Torah. There's certain type of mitzvahs that are technical structures, okay? Technical structures. Tefillin, mezuzah, and tzitzis, and makkah, different things. I mean, okay, I'm not going to argue each one. I mean, each one could be, I know you could argue with me. But I'm just telling you that in general, in the Torah, there are two classes of mitzvahs. One class are the technical mitzvahs, the other classes are mitzvahs which really involve perfection of man. Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is not so much of a technical mitzvah. If Rambani has Hakam, as I mentioned before, Shantar. But in terms of perfection, that's the greatest mitzvah. Okay? Arayas. Again, Arayas is not just a technical thing. That's why the Gemara distinguishes between Arayas of She'er and even in Arayas you have distinction. Arayas of She'er and an Issa, for instance, of Psuadaka or something. There's a different kind of... Those are different types of Isurim. They're not Isurim of in terms of perfection, but they're Isurim. Everything, of course, comes to perfection in different ways, but the roundabout, the system, there are different things. The Torah has many, many different categories. But I'm just breaking it down right now into two distinct categories. Namely, the category of mitzvahs which are intrinsic perfection, okay? And the category of mitzvahs that are technical mitzvahs. I think you cannot understand this Gemara unless you realize that when the Gemara says, "Lo'olam yasok odam b'torah of a mitzvahs, afilu shelo lishmon, shemitoch shelo lishmon bo lishmon," it's not referring to the technical mitzvahs. Okay, it's not a statement like that. It doesn't mean that. Because if it would mean that, then you'd have the problem I mentioned before. Namely, the Gemara is saying that if you do things by rote, eventually you're going to wind up doing them for the right reason, which is really questionable, and we don't even, it's problematic. I mean, it could be yes, could be no, okay? Yeah. I don't think that's what the Gemara means. I mean, most people take the Gemara to mean that, but you should always do it, Shalom Lashmon, because you'll do it already, you'll do it, then you'll see that there's a good in it, and then you'll continue to do it for the right reason. That's a simplistic interpretation. That's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara means that when a person is overpowered, torn by the Yetzer Hara, okay, by the Yetzer Hara, the instinctual forces are really tugging and pulling at him. So if the person refrains from giving into the Yetzer Hara, even for a wrong reason, there is a tremendous benefit. Why? It means shemitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. That's what the Gemara means. The Gemara means that the mere control of the Yetzer Hara is something which causes a person to be in a position for the good. He's positioned now in a favorable way. So even though he refrained from giving into the Yetzer Hara for the wrong reason, he did it for another reason. Let's say kavod or something. He's afraid he's going to get caught. So therefore he doesn't engage in znus. Okay, and Gemara says that's also very good. He didn't do it right. Right reason is kedoshim to you, but he didn't do it for that. He's afraid he's going to get caught. Something ulterior motive. Okay, so the Gemara says even that is good because he is controlling his instinct, and since he's gaining control over the instinct, even though not for the right reason, now he is perfected to a greater degree than he would be had he given into the instinct. Okay, that's what the statement of the Gemara is. Lolom yasok odam b'torah mitzvahs afilu shelolishman. That's what it doesn't mean by rote. You're going to do it, and you're going to come to realize that it's good. That's who knows. You can do rote. People do all their lives. You see, they go through all their lives. They started the mitzvah 10 years old, either way, and 7 years old, they still do it the same way. Plenty of people like that. Okay, so there's no that's not what the Gemara means. The wake up, there's no wake up call over there. You know what I mean? You keep on going that way, and that's it. Yeah, many people, most people, for matter of fact, do it that way. That's what most people are. Only a Talmud Chacham gets out of that type of a program. Okay. What the Gemara is not discussing. The Gemara is discussing a different thing altogether. It's discussing the mitzvahs. Those mitzvahs which, by definition, involve the conquest of the libido, of the instinct. Those kind of mitzvahs. That's what the Gemara means. That's what Mishnah Mitoch Shalol Shema Bo Shema means, that any manner of control is good because it places the psyche in a position where it has gained control, and now it's capable of living a perfected life. You see, that's what it means. That's what the statement means. Yeah. It's a so you must say, that's a good point, so you must say, therefore, that what it means is it is a kind of perfection. It's a kind of perfection. It's a perfection. Okay? It's a perfection. Why? In other words, you could, what Binyamin is saying is correct. In other words, this Gemara could be interpreted in terms of the Rambam Hilchos Deos. Namely, that there is a perfection of being in the mean, and that's what the Torah strives for, which means to say not to give in to the taivas. So the Gemara is expressing it that way. The Gemara is saying that by not giving in to the taivas, you're gaining a perfection of the soul, which is because the Rambam says that the Derech HaTorah is always the Derech HaMein. The Shvilazah. So you could interpret it that way. I mean, with the Rambam's framework, you could interpret the Gemara saying, but we're saying the same thing, we're just not using his framework, okay? You put it that way too. You could say that what the Gemara is saying is that you're better off being under the sway of the ego than under the sway of the libido, of the instinctual. All right? You could put it that way. That's that's great. That's great. That's a good way to put it. Yes. What's bothering Zev is that I'm sort of taking the statement out of its literal framework. Because it says, Lolam Yaso Godom Vitorah Mitzvahs, the implication is, keep halacha, keep halacha. I say that that's not the pshat, okay? And I'll tell you, I'll explain to you later how it fits into the Lashon. But again, people always jump at the Lashon of Chazal and they don't have any ideas, because even though it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, because Chazal said it, they're willing to accept it. But as I said before, what the Radak says is, namely, we don't accept anything connected to Seichel. And if it doesn't make any sense, it doesn't make any sense, no matter who says it. So therefore, to say that it means mitzvahs by rote, the way most people understand it, is absolutely senseless, because we know it's not true. Because people do things like that all their lives. It never brings to Lishma, it has nothing to do with it. So it's simply false. Just if anyone has any kind of powers of observation knows that that's not true. Okay? That's why I say what the Chazal means is not those mitzvahs. It means bedafka mitzvahs that control the Yetzer Hara, the libidinous side of man, the Yetzer Hara, the instinctual part. That's what it means. Yes. Talmud Torah, of course, is the highest thing. Because in Talmud Torah, what you're doing is you're channeling the instinct away from the instinctual into the highest sphere. So that's the greatest of them all. Okay. Now, you see what Chazal is saying? Now the comparison. Now the question is, now what are Chazal saying when they're comparing? What are they saying, basically? Yes? What the Gemara is saying is like this. The Gemara is saying is you have two different types of actions. They're really opposed to each other. In one case, you're restraining yourself from the instinctual. So you're gaining perfection that way. In the other case, you're really catering to the instinctual. You're giving in to the instinctual. Okay? So you're giving in to the instinctual, but for a good reason. Okay? For the reason of mitzvah. Correct? But you're catering. That's what it means, avera. See, that's why avera means an avera that has to do with znus. That's why it's a case of yoyo. It has to do, it's not just any avera. It doesn't mean to say, like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wrote down the Mishnayos, because Eis Lashem Ferel Es Terasecha. That's a mitzvah. That's the greatest mitzvah. That's nothing to do with that. It doesn't mean, just like I said, the mitzvahs do not mean the technical mitzvahs. The avera the Gemara is discussing is not a technical avera. It's discussing an avera in which the libido's involved, the instinctual's involved, the libidinous side of man is being satisfied and catered to. That's what the Gemara is discussing. Now the Gemara has an interesting question. The question is that which person is more perfected? Okay? A person who caters to the instinctual part of man, but really has a higher goal. The goal is a higher goal, but the individual is involved in catering to the instinctual. Okay? Now I'll give you the reverse situation, where a person has a lower goal, but they're controlling the instinctual. Okay? It's two opposite phenomena. Right? Now you see what the Gemara can compare it to. So the Gemara says these two things are really up for comparison, because they're really opposites. In one case, you're giving in to the instinctual, but your motivation is a higher one. In the other case, your motivation is low, but you're perfecting yourself by controlling your instincts. So which one of these two is better? Okay? So the Gemara says it's better to cater to the instinctual and have a higher goal, okay, than to control the instinctual with a lower goal. All right? So now do you see what the Gemara's next question is? So the Gemara says, but how could you say this? Because the Memra says, Rashi says, Alma de mitzvah shelo lishma chashiva. What does it mean? What is Rashi saying? Rashi's saying that basically it's virtually impossible to compare compare the two. In other words, the comparison is a logical one. Yeah, you have to understand. It's a logical one because you're dealing with with opposed characteristics, okay? Things that are in opposition to each other, so it's logical to put them on the board, okay? And say, let's compare these two, right? But you can't draw a conclusion. I mean, it's virtually impossible to draw a conclusion and to say that this one is better than that because they're two different things. It's impossible to draw a conclusion about such a thing. Which you could say it's an interesting comparison here. One person can be involved in controlling the instincts for a lower reason. Another person is catering to the instincts, but they have a higher motive. Now you want to say which event will perfect an individual to a greater degree? What's the answer? The answer is it depends on the individual. I mean, you can't answer such a thing in generalities. You could say there's a benefit in each one, correct? But you cannot say in a given situation which one is going to give an individual greater perfection because it's completely dependent on the person, what their taivas are, what their state is, and yeah, it depends on too many factors to give it to come out with a generality and say this one's better than that. It's ridiculous. Each one is lacking. Each one has a lack because each one has a weakness. In one case, the higher objective is weak. In the other case, catering to the instinctual is weak. Okay, each one has a benefit. In one case, the objective is perfection, and the other case, the restraint. Control of the libido is a perfection. Yeah, these are perfections. You can't say, though, that one is greater across the board than the other. It doesn't make any sense. So you see? That's exactly what Rashi says. So that's why the Gemara... That, now you see why the Gemara says... Rashi answer? Let Rashi come. So the Gemara says, Vomrav, you're saying that it's greater. So you're saying that it's greater... But I'll show you that there's a definite benefit. Lo'olam yasok odam b'torah v'mitzvot ha'filas lo'olash ma'ashim telchim ha'molash ma'ashim. So what is the Gemara saying? If there were no benefit in doing mitzvot shalolash mon, so then I could see why you said it's greater. Because you're telling me one has a defect and a gain, and the other one is pure defect. So then I can understand that your statement makes sense, that across the board I can make a general statement that what... that A is better than B. But if you're going to tell me that there's a benefit in simple control, even though the motivation is low, so then what kind of can you say one's greater than the other? It depends on the situation, depends on the people. That's exactly what Rashi says. See? Alma de mitzvah shelo lishma chashiva. Dilidei mitzvah hi mevia. Va'at amrit avera lishma gedola imena. As long as you admit that there's some benefit in mitzvahs, shelo lishman, so it's a facto, by virtue of that, you're telling me that they you can't say which one's greater. Each one has a benefit. So now your statement lies in ruin, because your statement is that this one is greater. That's only possible it's greater if you tell me there's zero in the other one. Then you could say this certainly is greater. And the Gemara, then we understand the statement in a different manner. It means to say, you would think, I want to show you that an Avera, Shalom Lashma, is greater than you think this guy's doing a mitzvah. Basically, he's doing Shalom Lashma, is worthless, and an Avera is better than that. That's a different kind of a statement of Chazal. It's like a removal of an apparition, that kind of a statement. You have a lot of statements of Chazal. But if you're telling me this statement is not just a removal of an apparition, but it's a kind of a statement that has intrinsic value, so then you're going to get stuck, basically, if you admit that the control of the libido alone has a very great value and perfects a person, so then it depends on the individual. So how could you say one's greater than the other? Okay? So that's why the Gemara answers, Ela Eimor, Kim Mitzvah Shalom Lishmar. What does Rashi say? Rashi comes in again. Shestein Shavos. Shestein Shavos. So we ask the question, how do you know they're both exactly the same? That's what Rashi means. It means to say, as long as you've shown me there's a benefit in each, and now it depends on the individual, which one is going to perfect the soul of the individual depends on the individual. So Shestein Shavos. That's it. That's all we can say about them. Is they're both good. They're both good things. Okay? That's a rational stand, Shavuot. You see, that's basically the matter. Now I just want to answer one thing. The reason why the Gemara says, La'olam yasok adam b'toro v'mitzvos, Afilu shelo l'shman shemitoch shelo l'shman b'l'shman. The reason why the Gemara says it is very simple. Because the Gemara knows that it's impossible if a person will choose certain mitzvahs in the Torah just on the basis that he determines that these things are perfecting, then the imperfection of such an individual is too gross to say that there's any kind of perfection for that person. You understand what I'm saying? The person will come along and say, I'm going to choose this mitzvah because this mitzvah is going to control myself. That's not we can't even deal with such an individual, basically. Such an individual is not on a level, first of all, to make these judgments. And if he does make these kind of judgments, then there's no perfection because he is completely distorted in terms of his reality principle vis-a-vis Torah. We can't, the Chazal don't talk about such an individual. It's not perfection. That's a mishigas, a crazy person. Okay? So the only way that a person will be able to benefit from the control of the Torah is if he knows the Torah is true and he does all the mitzvahs because of ulterior motives. You understand? So that's why it's Yasef Bekar Mitzvahs means he has to be Osek in all the mitzvahs. But that's just on the practical level. But the underlying perfection does not come from all the mitzvahs that the Gemara, that's not what the meaning of the statement is. The underlying perfection the Gemara is discussing is the perfection of the control of the libido, which comes from certain mitzvahs only, like I mentioned before. So what I'm saying now is, I'm saying when you look into Chazal again, you'll see that there's no problem with the literal meaning of the statement, the problem that Zev raised before. Because what I'm saying is that the import of the statement is the control from the mitzvahs that are libidinous. But the practicality of the statement is he has to accept all the mitzvahs, of course. And the Shugan is going to come on and say, I won't do this, or whatever. I'll take, I want the arayas. I won't do that. That's the perfect mitzvah. This is Mishugas. I mean, there's no such person. If there is such a person, then he's crazy. We can't talk about perfection altogether. Because what is a system? He has no system. Just a wild kind of crazy system. There's no perfection in such an individual. Period. Yeah. In other words, he has to have a logical modus operandi. You can't have a person that has a crazy way of functioning. What are you talking about then? It's just a mishugana. Okay. So unless you're talking about a person that doesn't know anything about Torah, that's a philosopher. That's not our Asik. The Chazal talking about practicality. Okay. Practicality, there's a rationale, there has to be a rational approach. Rational approach, he knows the Torah is true, there's a system he accepts, but basically he doesn't do it because of the right reason, he does it for another reason. Okay, so that's a logical modus operandi. Once you have that, then we say the perfection, the mitoch shelo l'shma bo l'shma, is not in the perfunctory mitzvahs. It doesn't mean, like I said before, the technical mitzvahs. It means those mitzvahs that control the person. But the only root to those mitzvahs is through an acceptance of all the mitzvahs. That's what the Gemara speaks. Because there's no such thing as taking half of them. It's not crazy. Okay? But you have to understand, when Chazal make a statement, what is the like the Ramban says, in Torah, there's a klipa and there's a pnim. I mean, the klipa is the outer shell, is the yasgadam tovah, because that's the way you have to have, that's the framework of the operation. But the inner perfection is really those mitzvahs which control the libido. Okay? All right. That's exactly what the Gemara means. That if a person will control his libido, then he's in a very good position to accept mitzvahs. It means it's a kind of perfection. It's like the Rambam says, like a perfection of the amarats. It's like the perfection of the amarats. It's also perfection. Yeah, you have to understand. Anything which serves as a base for a higher level in man is itself a kind of perfection. That's a logical conclusion. Right, a man mentions, you have a similar thing, the Ram says, makes this distinction. You think about it. I'll tell me if the Ram says that Chazal is only speaking about one class of mitzvahs that have to do with desire. Not like everybody thinks speaking about any kind of mitzvah. Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. That's correct. We're saying a similar thing over here. That this Gemara is not referring to just any mitzvah. It's referring to those class of mitzvahs that have to do with the control of the libido. Yes. If you would say that mitzvahs shelo l'shmon are worthless, you could say that. It's not illogical. You could say that any time that the only value is if your goal is directly involved with your action. And without the goal, if you remove the goal, then the action is virtually worthless. That's what the Gemara thought before. Then the statement of the previous member makes sense. Because in Averu Lishma, the point is that at least the main thing is the goal. In other words, the main thing is the goal. So if you do an Averu Lishma, so now your goal is good. But your instinctual is bad. Okay, but that has a value. But if a person did a mitzvah Shalom Lishman, in that case, there's no goal. No goal is nothing. That was the original understanding of the Gemara. That goal is everything. If you have a good goal, even though you have bad in terms of the instinctual, it still has a value. But if you have a bad goal, no matter how good you are in terms of the instinctual, it's still worthless. So the statement was understood to mean that everything is goal. Goal is everything. That's the essence, which is a logical statement. Okay? But then the Gemara says, but we do not hold our way. Because we do say that even though the goal is bad, there still is a certain kind of perfection. Oh, now once you tell me there's a kind of perfection, now how can you say whether this one's greater? Doesn't make any sense. Now the memory doesn't make any sense anymore. Because now you're trying to measure and weigh, and that's only possible in individuals, not in generalities. Okay? That's basically the memory. The original memory would have made sense if you're telling me what the statement of Rav Nachman by Yitzchak was, that everything depends upon goal. You could work out a very nice philosophy like that. I mean, it's not irrational. Make a lot of sense. Everything depends on goal. And as long as if the goal is corrupt, everything's worthless. If the goal is good, even though the instinctual is not good, but still the goal is something. The goal is everything, in other words. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I could very easily support such a kind of a philosophy, such kind of doctrine. But Chazal didn't hold that. Chazal held differently. That's why the Gemara says that once you hold differently, then you have a problem. And the only thing you could say is, they're both equal. Mean to say in general, that's what I mean. It doesn't mean they're really both equal. Okay. What it means, mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma, means that this is it places one in a position where they can appreciate idea of perfection. Now, if you're in that position, that itself has to be perfection. Yeah, Rashi says, that's correct. Rashi says, dili de mitzvah he may via. That's correct. It brings to the perfection where a person does it it brings him to the real performance of a mitzvah in its true sense. So that's a perfection. Now he's a more perfected person. It's not like people think that because of mitzvahs, mitzvahs are like, you know, it's like you're getting a score in the sky. Okay, so therefore you need a certain amount of score. So if you do this, so it's going to lead you to get a big score later. I mean, this is a silly approach. You have to understand the learning on a deeper level. I mean, that's something. Yeah, what I'm trying to explain to you is what is the substance of the statement of Chazal. It's a philosophical statement. Nothing to do with it. Of course, there's a perfection in keeping the system, some kind of thing. But that's not what the Gemara is talking about. It's not the Gemara's point. He says, "V'amrim naosik b'mitzvah shelol lishma noach lo shelo nivra." As the Chazal says, that a person does mitzvah shelol lishma, it'd be better if he wasn't born, which would mean that it has no value whatsoever. And here we're saying it has some perfection. Okay. Yeshlama dasam ma'ariv sheosik b'torah shelol lishma lekapeach acherim. Over there, it means that he's trying to he's osik in Torah in order to break other people down. That's his. That's what his intention is, in order to destroy others. Over here it means that he's trying to gain some type of importance. Okay, some type of importance. Lignos Shem. Very interesting statement, Taisa. I mean, what is Taisa saying? What's the difference, really? They're both Shalol Shema. What's the difference? Which emotion you satisfying? What? I mean, in both cases, you're putting in some kind of value. Like, you'll tell me that Likno Shame means to get a good name, so you recognize that Torah has to do with a good name. Okay, fine. You mean that's like a mitigating factor. But I could say the other way also, that a person that uses Torah in order to show others that he's more intelligent than they are, so he recognizes that Torah has value in terms of intelligence. I mean, you got to get down to what is Taisus saying? It's a very interesting Taisus. Yes, go ahead.
Well,
the question we should raise like this: Chazal said, "What's the worst meter? The worst meter is gaiva." Gemara says that ain ani v'hu yecholim lodo b'mader echod. Kolam is goes docha ragla ashchino. It means gaiva, human arrogance is a tarti de sasri to the idea of God. Tarti de sasri is docha ragla ashchino. He said, it's the worst mitzvah of all, is gaiva. Says, God says, that's the one person that I can't be with is the Baal Gaiva. Ain't any of you yachol mother. I mean, so it seems Baal Gaiva is the worst of all. It would seem so. So we hear Taisha saying that for gaiva, it's okay, but if it's aggression, it's worse. You see, I'll tell you what I think it is. The first thing is you have to let's define the tesis like we're in the process of doing. What tesis is distinguishing between two instincts. He's distinguishing between the aggressive instinct, the instinct of man to be cruel, vicious, the sadistic instinct, and the instinct, the egoistic instincts. That's basically what tesis is saying. Let's just define tesis first. He's saying there's a difference between those two. That if it's done under the power of the force of the vicious aggressive instincts, then it's worthless. Then it's worthless. Then it would be better that it didn't exist. He only causes harm. But if it's done under the egoistic instincts, then it's okay. Then it's okay. Yeah. So we have to understand really. Like I said, the kasha is that gaiva is the worst thing of all. Right? Gaiva is the worst of all. Yeah. But I think what Taisvis means, you see, what Taisvis means, you have to understand Taisvis in the context of the Gemara. Well, what is the Gemara saying, basically? The Gemara is saying, like we explained last week, that it means that if a person controls the instinctual part of his nature, even though, in other words, he's doing it because of coercion, even though he's not doing it for the right reason, but nevertheless, that is a tremendous benefit because it places a person in the proper slot, so to speak, proper frame, so that perfection is open to him. So it's a kind of perfection of the midos. Okay, yeah. What Taisvis is saying is, Taisvis is saying an interesting thing. He's saying that in the area of the aggressive instinct, there's no route to perfection. If that's what is driving him, there is no vehicle that can get him out of the. It's a dead end. Because then it means that his learning is simply instinctual gratification. That's what it means. It's just instinct. It's tied to the instinctual. Because the aggressive instinct is purely a certain kind of an instinctual satisfaction and leads him nowhere. That's the end of it. It's a dead end. Okay? However, if it's the egoistic instinct, it's different. Why we say Balgaiva is the worst thing, Balgaiva is the worst thing. Yeah. The answer is like this. The answer, there is no doubt in the world that Taisvis would agree that if a person was really a haughty individual and he learned purely for gaiva, that it would be just as bad as the aggressive individual. Okay, there's no question about that. But what Taisvis means is that the route to gaiva, really, gaiva, the idea of gaiva, the concept of gaiva, is that gaiva is a quantitative process. There's a certain level where a person is completely absorbed with itself. But that doesn't mean that there are no stages where that same that same instinct is found, where it's not gaiva, but it's something else, which is not really a horrible thing. It's the same, you might say it's the same quality, but the quantity is not the same. In other words, what he means is like this. That, let's say, for instance, there's every person likes to be accepted by other people. Okay? So, you'll say that's really, it's gaiva. Because what is gaiva? Gaiva means that the only thing I care about is what other people think of me. That's my sole concern. Yeah. But that is taking that emotion to the nth degree. Okay? Yeah, but there are different levels of that emotion. If a person just likes to be accepted among his friends, it might partake of that same quality, you see. But the quantity makes a big difference. All right? Because everybody wants to be accepted. That's a... Not a Bulgaiva. But you'll tell me, but it's the same exact thing except to a much lesser degree. That's true. But the quantity over there is what makes the difference. The quantity in that case is, like Aristotle says, the quantity sometimes is a quality. Okay? So what Teisvus means is like this. That, like Chazal say, what does Gemara say in Brachas? That halavai a person should have a yiras shemayim ki yiras basar adam. Okay? Why? Because when a person doesn't have error, he says, oh, I hope nobody sees me. So what does it mean? It means that a person's concern for what other people think, if it would be on a level that the same, if his fear of God would be on that's equal, that would be very good already. You see, very good. Okay? So, you see, the desire to be accepted by others, while it's true that a Balgaiva has taken that quality and driven it to the nth degree, but in a normal individual, that's not called a Balgaiva. Not a Balgaiva. It's a flaw. It's not Shlemus Adam. Shlemus Adam is where a person does not care what anybody thinks. Shlemus Adam is the Nafshi Ka'ofal HaKoltia. That's Shlemus Adam. I don't care what anybody thinks. Okay, yeah. But you must bow for that every day, but very few people reach that level. Okay? So what Teisvus is saying is that, on the contrary, that need for acceptance that man has by his fellow man is something which can act as a bridge for acceptance by God. It's a route. It's not all bad. You see, that process is not really a totally evil process, because it can be manipulated on a higher level into a much higher type of thing. In other words, every child, what is a child concerned about? Child saying, well, what does parents think about it? Every child wants the love of the parents. That's really the tool that every parent has in controlling a child. Okay? So you see, that's a natural thing in man. But when man, Yahadus, demands of a human being that he, basically Yahadus demands one thing of a human being, that he matures. Maturity. Total maturity. Total maturity means that you leave the childhood objects and emotions, but all these emotions really are replaced, so to speak, vis-a-vis the one being that's the source of all reality, and the one being that is the only real existence, which is God. Okay? So the truth of the matter is that those emotions that we have in early youth, and which we have as we develop, namely the need for recognition, is not really bad, but it can be used as a bridge, so to speak. And what did Chazal say? Aaron HaKohen was the best person at giving tochacha. Why? Because he built the person up, and the person would be ashamed to fall lower than the mark that Aaron implied that he believes about. He considered him. So it means it's lo lishma. Why? Because what is he concerned about? Aaron. Okay, you know, I'm concerned about Aaron. We're not concerned about Aaron. We're not concerned about Moshe. We're concerned only about God. That's what a person should be concerned about. But it's a normal thing that a person is concerned about what a great individual thinks of him. Person is concerned what his Rebbe thinks of him. Person is concerned what his Chaver thinks of him. This is normal, and it's not something which is totally evil. It's just, it's not Shlemus Adam. I mean, we try to reach a level where we get rid of these psychological props, okay? That's really a person that's a very great individual. But these psychological mechanisms can also be vehicles, tools to relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which means that the person can realize that what does Chazal say? Chazal say that there's a maaser with one of the Tanoim, where he went up in his attic and there were shvachos up there, and shvuyos up there, shvuyos, and the Yetzirah took hold of him. And he screamed out fire, and people came, and they saw it was very embarrassing. They was caught up there. So he said, I'd rather be embarrassed in this world than in the next world. What does it mean? It means he replaced the concept of busha. You see, there's a concept of busha, so he realized, yeah, but there's a real busha. Real busha is before God, before what is real and true. People, that's simply exists in their minds. I mean, that's not a real, that's a psychological busha. So you see that these things that we have, which, of course, driven to the nth degree, is gaiva. However, nevertheless, on a certain level, they're not bad. On a certain level, they're normal, they're natural, and they even function as a vehicle and as a means to true perfection. Okay? You know, they say over, I mean, they were applying, they said, they're stako baraisu bor alma. Everybody confuses, they have these crazy shut them. But there are barons in Soloveitchik mentioned. He said, well, what does it mean? It means Chaim said that God created man in a way that his nature should be such that he should be aligned with Torah. Like you see, most people can't tolerate Ritzicha. They can't tolerate something, but that's not the reason why you shouldn't be a Ratzayach. The reason is because you understand justice. But you see, man has a head start, and so far as his nature is concerned, he can't tolerate it. An average person can't tolerate a true injustice, a real lie. I mean, it goes against them. See, so you see that people have, that's not the real reason why a person shouldn't lie. But that emotion is good. That emotion, it's something which helps a person to get to the higher level. That's what the Balei Tesis are saying. They're saying that the Balei Tesis don't mean if a person's exclusive goal is a Bal Gaiva, a haughty individual, and his learning is simply to satisfy that emotion, then of course he's just as bad as anybody else's. No question ever. But Tesis is saying that in the realm of emotions, the aggressive doesn't do anything for you. Aggressive just to destroy somebody else, it doesn't lead to anything. Okay? It's not a route to travel to a higher level. You see, that's not the route. So therefore it's a dead end, and basically he's just satisfying his instinct, so he's just destroying other people. So no question ever. It'd be better if he wasn't on the earth. But a person, an individual who is guided by the egoistic instincts, but in moderation, lis gader, liknos shame, he likes to have a nice name, he likes to be accepted by people, doesn't mean to be haughty over people like a Balgaiva. That's a Balgaiva. He means he's an individual, it's important to him at this point, it's important what other people, his position, he wants to have a certain acceptance. So that's okay, I mean, because of the fact that the acceptance from people can be converted into acceptance by God. I mean, that's a root. It's a root, you see. But so therefore, he says, that's what the Gemara means. But there is no doubt, I mean, I want to make it clear. According to Tesis, there is no doubt that if the person's, if the degree is not the correct one, that of course would be the same thing as the individual who's into aggression. If that's his sole essence, is just to prove that he's superior to other human beings. I mean, that's his whole, that's his whole mind and his goal is that. I mean, of course, Tesis says the same thing. But Tesis is saying that in the aggressive instinct, there is no root. It's not a method of arriving at a higher level. Whereas the egoistic instinct in moderation is a very good thing. It takes a person naturally wants to be accepted by others. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Look, no shame. He wants to have a good name. He wants to have a certain position in the society. He wants to feel accepted among other people. That's not a terrible thing, because that can be converted to a higher goal. But aggression to destroy other people, you can't convert that into anything higher. That's just pure instinct, and it's a dead end. That's basically what Tesis is saying. Yes. In other words, in aggression, you're just harming somebody. In acceptance, as I said before, an acceptance is natural, that we want acceptance when we're young from our parents, then later from our chaverim, you know, rabbeim. This is a natural thing, but that ultimately can be guided into the concept of acceptance by God. I mean, that in Yahadus, the emotions don't die. That's not the philosophy of Yahadus. Many people make a mistake. They think, you know, that Yahadus is against the mind. It's not against emotion. The emotion has to find its rightful place. A person is concerned about what other people think about him. He should sit down and think, well, what does God think about me? And he should be happy with that. I mean, that's the highest level. But I'm just saying, the root, the emotion, the whole Sefer Tehillim is basically that. I mentioned this another time. Sefer Tehillim is the Sefer that shows you, David HaMelech took every emotion and he lined it up into serving God. I mean, that's exactly what the Sefer Tehillim is about, really. Sefer Tehillim is the Sefer of perfection. But that's the philosophy of Yahadus, the Sefer Tehillim. That's the philosophy of Yahadus. That's the real sheer, because the emotion is in line with Yediyas Hashem. Yahadus is not against emotion. It's the very difficult process. It's a lifetime process. And you're like, you know, your Rav once said, Yom Kippur is a wonderful thing. He says, but it could take a person 70 Yom Kippurim to have one good Yom Kippur. You know what I mean? It's true. I mean, that is the Ashkafa of Yahadus. It's a very slow, difficult process, but it's one which through Nevuah and through examples of Bali Amasara, we know that the process does take place. And if a person is persistent, so then changes take place in the individual. And the individual substitutes the emotions that are tied to the temporal aspects of life. It takes those emotions and it ties them to the eternal, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, that's the whole philosophy of Yahadus. So what Tai's saying, but the aggressive emotion doesn't do that. And the aggressive emotion is no root through aggression and destroying other people is no root to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's just evil. So therefore, that emotion really is something which is worthless. And there we say, Noach lo l'adam shalom nevar. Yes. In other words, basically what Taisus is saying is that in the social behavior of man, there is a substitution process that could take place. Antisocial is you don't have that. That's what he's saying. Well, when we say that God views him favorably, you can't, in other words, as I always say, in Yahadus, you can't separate the philosophy from the psychology. The two are very tightly woven together. You can't say there's no separate line that differentiates between psychology and philosophy. I mean, he has to have a concept of God. He has to have a concept of what he is. He's Vanochi Ofer Ve'efer does not mean that Avraham Avinu thought that God doesn't view him favorably. He knew he's a creature because you see he wasn't afraid to question HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he knows what he is. He's an individual is a Bria Shvela Vafela, but at the same time, he knows that if he lives in a certain manner, as little as he is, he still is viewed by God as favorable. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not a tactic to sasare. If a person doesn't have any philosophy and is just in a childish psychological state where he just thinks God views him favorably and is just like like his father, but to him he's just substituting God, I mean, he doesn't develop philosophically, I mean, of course it's not going to be perfection. That's why I say there must be a combination, a growth. The growth process in Yahadus is on two fronts. It's on the internal and on the external, in terms of the philosophical growth and also the internal. It's both. It must be both. That's really the whole essence of it. That's the godless of Yahadus. The Yahadus doesn't separate the two and they move hand in hand. Yes? Gaiva is the same emotion where the quantity is so great that it's a different quality, right? It's like, I'll tell you what. What? It's like an example. I'll give you an example from psychology. So it's like neuroses, okay? It's always customary to make fun of everybody's neuroses. Everybody has neuroses, and everybody slips, and you interpret everybody's slips, and the neuroses, and all these type of things. It's all very common, and you know everybody enjoys this. But some people just don't know that is not really what neuroses is. Neuroses is not what we call, oh, he's neurotic. Neuroses is where all the energy is channeled, the quantity of energy is channeled into these things to such a degree that there's no free energy for functioning. Okay? Now you say, yeah, it's the same thing, but a different quantity. It's true. But that quantity changes the whole function of the psyche of the individual. Okay? You know, the same thing is true with Gaiva. Same thing is true with Gaiva. Everybody's about Gaiva. Everybody has Gaiva. But where the quantity, when the quantity reaches a certain level, the preoccupation of the self is completely with obsessed with the self. That's a different kind of individual. I mean, it means the energies are, there's no free energy for, you understand what I'm saying? That is, the quantity over there is a different quality. It's a different type of personality. So it's not just a matter. You understand? A Balgaiva is a different kind of a mindset. Just like a neurotic is a psychologically a different kind of a phenomenon. It's not like a person's depressed. Everybody gets depressed. It's not what they call not clinical depression. Clinical depression is a different phenomenon altogether. The person can't get out of bed. They can't move. You call it the same term, depression, but it's not the same thing. Everybody's depressed for a few hours. Depressed for a day or two. But it's not the same thing. It's the same quality, but the quantity makes the difference in terms of the function of the organism, of the person. Okay? Yes, go ahead. Okay, what you're saying proves what I'm saying. What a Rambam says that a person shouldn't have even a modicum of gaiva. Okay? That, of course, he's talking about in a qualitative sense. There he's talking about shleimus adam, perfection of man to the highest degree, to the nth degree, and he's saying you shouldn't partake. A real person that's totally perfected doesn't have any need for any of that, and really shouldn't be his own self-worth vis-a-vis man should be nothing. Yeah, but that's perfection. But that's not a balgaiva. Balgaiva is a different phenomenon. It means you need a certain quantity of balgaiva. A normal person is not a balgaiva. That's not what Chazal mean. I say entity of a who is talking about a person of a certain unique type of makeup. Maybe it's not that exceptional in terms of, you know, you find people like that, but it's not the average boss of Adam. I mean, real anivus is not a social phenomenon. That's what people don't understand. That real anivus is a phenomenon of you vis-a-vis God. That's real anivus. It's not a social phenomenon. Social humility is what the world understands. What Yahadus emphasizes is not social humility. It's metaphysical humility. Humility in terms of what we are as creatures. If a person would stop and think of what we are, our existence, how flighty, how temporal, how most of the time, all the tefillahs say it beautifully, and all the various chazal, a person is spends most of the Mosar Adam and Abhema Oyin Kiakol Ovel. Rabbeinu Yonah talks about it. The fact that if you reflect on your state and how much energy is wasted in the instinctual and how little of our makeup is really relegated to perceiving reality and how temporal our physical existence is and our psychological existence, how changeable it is. I mean, a person, if he reflects upon these things, he realizes, that's it. And vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch, what does Rambam say? Rambam says, when a person is bonin in Chachmas Hashem, he recognizes the fact that he's a Briya Shfela Vafela, Omeid Bedas Me'uta, and he concludes, Lifnei Tamim Deos, in the presence of God. That's Vanochi Af Vefer. That's what it is. That's why I think I mentioned. It's a kasha, not because I resist. I got Hakam Moshe Ben write the Torah of Ish Moshe on of Node. It's the biggest guy though. The answer is the one who asked the Apikaris was also an Amoritz. Because the thing is that he could only conceive of social humility. Of course, socially, it's impossible. But metaphysically, real humility. Yes, that's a fact. It's true. The person who is a true Anav knows. He knows it. He knows that he's reached that level. What does Gemara say? One of the Chazal says, was mispalled to have the anivus of a certain. He was mispalled to have the wealth of one of the Amorim and the anivus. And he says, the wealth they gave me, but the anivus I never got. What does it mean? It's a certain level of realization where a person knows where his emotions and his mind are in line with a certain recognition of what he is. Vis-a-vis true existence, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a different kind of anivus. That's Vanochi Af Vefer. Yeah. It's always, you see, once a person develops in terms of his metaphysics, it's always vis-a-vis, that's Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet. It's you can't. It's a source of reality. It's always before your mind. That's it. This is reality. So that level is always. Yeah, he may not need it so much in a psychological sense, but you know what I'm saying? There is something what you're saying there. He doesn't need this. There is a point where a person needs that psychological satisfaction. That a person who is really, now you're talking about persons that only lefnei hashchina, like Moshe Rabbeinu pel peh. He's not looking for psychological satisfaction anymore. He's completely is all his energies are channeled into the experience of being Lifnei Hashem. That's a different kind. It's a different kind, different quality of existence. Okay, different quality of existence. That's what like the Rav one time mentioned. The Mishnah says, "Misha Rebbe butla another." So I said, "What do you mean? Another after Rebbe? You know, Bayev a Rav, I mean, a Meroyim, other Tanayim, what?" So he said, no, he says, Butler, he says, a different kind of anivus, different quality. Rebbe had a different quality, it's a different experience. There are different qualitatively differentiated experiences that man has on the ladder to perfection. It's a different kind of experience. That is definitely true. Yeah. I wanted to add one more thing, though. I want to say that insofar as this is concerned, I mean, there's another aspect to this also. Another aspect of this. And that is that really Torah, knowledge of Torah is really the biggest antidote to Gaiva. Naturally. Because when a person sees what Chochmas HaTorah is, he has to become a shuffle. And that's really the Rambam. Kishim is Boneinu Odom, and then he sees the Yirmehen, the Chochmaso, Shein La Erech, Vein La Kates. So he says immediately he realizes he's B'ir Shvela Fela. So the same thing is true. The Rambam mentions insofar as the knowledge of the creation, because he's talking about like Maisa Makova, Maisa Bereishis, Maisa Makova. He's giving you to the highest level. But the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs talks about learning, and there's no question about it that if a person learns Torah, I mean, it has to. It's the biggest blow to a person's ego when he learns a sugya and he sees Chochmas HaTorah, and he sees how hard it is to work through a few lines of a Gemara, and the whole Shas is there with that same depth, rolling the Yama Talmud, rolling before him. I mean, he has to feel, it has to attack his gaiva, you see. So therefore, the process of learning itself, is really the biggest antidote to the emotion of the ego. So that's why there's something else there, you see, which directly attacks that emotion. But with regard to aggression, it doesn't really do that. With regard to aggression, there's nothing to say about aggression. You understand what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with it. So if the person is in the aggressive mode, you understand, the Chochmas HaTorah doesn't really have anything to do with it. You understand what I'm saying? Insofar as the egoistic mode, the Chochmas HaTorah is really what causes a person to reflect, and it humbles an individual. Humbles an individual. At Talmud Chochmah, what does Gemara say? Chazal say, Ein ho kol tzame luchulamayim. Torah is nimshalolamayim. Why? Because mayim goes from a high place to a low place. Okay? The same thing is true about Torah. Torah is only nikneh by a person that's a humble individual. Only a person that's... That's a chazal say. So what does it mean? It means to say, because the whole process of learning, a balgaiva really can't... Chazal held a balgaiva cannot really be a true Talmud Chacham. It's impossible. No matter how smart he is, he may be smart, he may be intelligent, but he's not going to be a real Talmud Chacham. A person that uncovers the secrets of the Torah, he's not going to be, because in order to be that way, he has to be a humble individual. He has to recognize that he doesn't really know anything. The basis of learning is the admission of ignorance. A person learns, he stumbles, he starts to work. He looks to the daf, he looks to the blot, he sees the wrong pshat. He has to be able to tolerate a feeling of emptiness. V'libi cholol bekirbi. He has to feel that and be able to tolerate that. If he can't tolerate that feeling, he has to know the answers. He can't make an honest investigation. It's an impossibility. And the Torah itself, the Limud itself, Shas itself, Torah Shabbat Peh itself, really is a very humbling experience. So therefore, it's a direct antidote to that emotion as well, operating at the same time. Was it got to aggression? I mean, no, on the contrary. You see, people use intelligence for aggression all the time. I mean, that's what this physicist that was in Syracuse told me. He's a firm fellow, very, very good mind. And he told me, he said he went to physics. Why? Because he thought over there he's going to find people that are, what could be better than studying God's chachma? He says the most aggressive, found the most aggressive individuals that will cutthroat, they'll take another person's idea and run to the press with it in order to gain credit for it. Ethical codes whatsoever. No scruples. So you see that if it's a rishis, I mean, that is rishis. That's gaiva to the nth degree, like we discussed before. It's just not gonna do anything. But if a person's in a moderate level, in a normal range, Torah has to have that effect that it must make a person be humble, and therefore it's mitoch shalavushma bavushma within the same framework. You see? Yes. Well, the reason why our system has produced not just brilliant minds, but perfected individuals, is because of the fact that it's a whole system. I mean, there's no system out there in the world that even is mapped out this way. I mean, this whole system is a system of chachma, but the chachma it attacks and demands of the person chachma in every respect, in an analysis of himself, of the yedias haTorah, of philosophy, of hashkafa. I mean, it's a whole different process. That's why our gedolim, I mean, it's unbelievable. Our gedolim, every one of them, you know, all the bones are straight down. I mean, the Gemara says that it's possible to have a talmid chacham. That's shesorach. I mean, it's possible talmid chacham shesorach. But it's rare, very, very rare. Very rare. Yeah, that's true. He's right. Yes, he's right. He's right. He remembered the halacha. That's right. Very good. So, Chazal do say that the way the person he should handle the aggressive instinct is to recognize it, first of all, and use it for the benefit of mankind. That's what they help. Like a shochet, or Dovra Malach, defies Melchemes HaRashus to help expand Klal Yisrael. It should be used. That's what Chazal really held it. It's an interesting thing, an interesting psychology. Yeah, no, what Gersh said is 100% correct. That's what Chazal suggested. Chazal said that the model is Dovra Malach. Dovra Malach was a very aggressive personality. I mean, Yahadis, it doesn't have to, perfection has nothing to do with the type of personality that you have. Everybody's different personalities. But the perfection is to use your emotions. Dovra Malach was an aggressive individual. Nothing wrong with that. But he channeled it. Recognize it. Don't blind your mind from your emotions. Recognize the emotions, be honest with yourself, and then proceed to channel it. But that should be channeled in the manner that Chazal say. In other words, towards sort of a constructive means, where there's the satisfaction for the emotion, but it's helpful to be